Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 71st Venice International Film Festival, and today I'm in company of Viggo Mortensen, actor in the film Luanda's Home, Far From Man by David Tollehoffen, screening here in competition. When you made the film and when you heard about the film, did it make you think about what's happening in the Middle East?
Yeah, I think it's true. But I think it also made me think about history further back, about imposition of European culture and values on the native population in Argentina and United States and other places in the world, Africa, obviously, as in this story. And long before the French, the Romans, the Phoenicians, the Turks, I mean, all kinds of different peoples in Algeria. So, Spanish. It's something that's gone on for as long as there have been people, you know, the imposition of one tribe's values over another. Yeah, and it is relevant. I think the more specific you are when you tell a story or you make a work of art, in this case, language, the look of the places, the clothes they wear, all these things, the more specific you are about a time and place, the more universal application it can have. You know, I think that's a general rule of art. The more specific you are, the more local you are, the more universal value the story can have. And even as we were shooting it, obviously you're thinking about these things. You think about the Middle East now and these retrenched attitudes, these situations where it seems impossible for opposing sides to find some middle ground. But it's not impossible. I mean, you see these two men, they seem so different, and yet in the end they are bound by a similar, each in their own way, purpose, which is finding a way to say yes to life instead of no to life in different ways for both of them.
Well, the director said that the kids really thought that you were a professor.
They're amazing, those kids. And they weren't actors. There's only one kid who'd ever been in a movie, I think. And many of them didn't speak French, you know. They didn't put all of these scenes in there, but there was one little boy, I don't know if you remember, at the end of the movie, this little boy who hands me a drawing. And they were given instruction. That boy didn't even speak French. He only spoke Arabic, and he was a Berber kid. And Berber. And they were all said, just shake his hand and walk out. And he decided to stop and offer. He wanted to give me a kiss, and it was like a really startling moment. It just happened like that. But he was a really special kid, and there was this, his name was, in the story, is Majid. And we did a scene where I'm fixing, he had a problem with his eye, and as a teacher, I was talking to him, and we had to have some words, you know, in French. And they had selected someone else, potentially. And they said, well, look at these kids when I first met them, and there was something about that boy. And I said to David, I said, it shouldn't be that boy. That boy is really, there's something going on there special. And he said, yeah, but he doesn't speak French. I said, it doesn't matter. It's more interesting, because then it's kind of like, I think the teacher identifies with this boy because that's his upbringing. His upbringing was in a house of illiterate Spanish peasants were his parents. So he heard that language. And then in the fields where he worked in agriculture, he would listen to Arabic from the kids. He only learned French when he went to grade school. When he was probably 8, that's when he started learning French. So he identifies with this kid. And it was probably, anyway, these things happen. And but those kids were really remarkable, and their faces are amazing. And these things that you see at the end where they're really sad and they seem to be really living the situation and understanding this teacher was leaving, no, he didn't tell them to do that. That was just, they just started filming, and sometimes even when we weren't doing the scene, while we were waiting, they was just had the kids sitting there, and the kids were thinking about what the scene was about, and they're crying and all these things, and they were just filming it without them knowing. So they were pretty amazing kids. We were lucky.
I found that a lot of things are like between the lines in the film.
A lot of things that I saw also that Rita did that I couldn't see when we did it, because I'm looking in a different direction or thinking my own things. And then when I see some of these scenes, like when he's asking me, you know, do you always shout in the school? And I say, no. But there's a lot of things that work really well in that sense. And one of my favorite shots in the movie. Maybe my favorite shot. There's a shot when I walk away, and there's almost filling the frame is Reza's face when he looks up and he's looking. He's making his decision whether he goes to Tenerife or to the desert. You don't know what he's going to choose, and you see my. I'm going away on the right of frame, and he's filling half of the frame, his face. It's a beautiful shot. I mean, it's a beautiful photograph. That goes on for, I don't know how long it goes on, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, maybe more. I love that shot.
You worked with a lot of European directors, foreign directors. I mean, is it because it is more interesting for you?
Well, I'm not consciously looking to work with North American directors. It's just the stories I happened to read that I liked, you know. And that's not to say that there aren't other interesting stories, including American ones or big budget movies or something, but it just so happens the last few years that the things I've said yes to and committed to, even if something else came along, I already said yes to that, and those were the first ones I saw that were interesting. So, you know, I know that some people, let's say you have a movie like Loin des Hommes or Lisandro's movie, which is much smaller even, and suddenly your agent says, well, you know, so-and-so wants you to do this movie, they'll pay you 30 times as much as that movie or 10 times as much, and it's guaranteed to be in the movie theaters, and it's a big production. But I already said yes to this one. And some actors will say, well, sorry, I can't do that, I got this. I wouldn't feel comfortable doing it. It doesn't mean to say makes me morally superior. It's just one's personal comfort level. If I say yes, it takes me a long time to say yes. I'm very careful about picking. But then once I say yes, then, okay, let's finish.
I heard that you asked for more time to prepare for this role. Is it true?
I didn't ask. You use the time that you have. I didn't delay anything. It is just the movie was going to start when it's going to start. But it just means that it took time for them to get the money together. From the moment I said yes until they got the money together and we could shoot, a couple of years went by. But in that time, I read as much and learned as much as I could. And once they definitely had their money together and I wasn't doing something else, then I started taking Arabic lessons and just doing the things I needed to do.
You just finished working on a new project, right?
It's called Captain Fantastic. I play a father of 6 children, and we live in the middle of the forest and far from men also. And but these kids are it's an amazing family, and these actors are incredible too. But they're from 7 years old until about 18. And all 6 of them, even when they're 7 years old, they're reading Schopenhauer and Noam Chomsky, and they know how to do, you know, algebra and geometry, and they know about astronomy, and they can kill a deer, and they can and gut a deer and take the skin off a deer, and they can make things, and they know how to use bows and arrows and knives and spears and grow plants.
Is that based on a true story?
No. I mean, there are people that live that way. It's rare, but...
What is your relation, your opinion about the Western genre?
Well, I was born in North America. I am a descendant of William F. Cody, Buffalo Bill, so I'm connected in that sense. But in terms of the Western genre, I think it's interesting in that it has to do with the problems that you see now in the Middle East or in many other places, which is this problem when one society, under the guise of civilizing or bringing humanism, is trying to subjugate a native culture. We've seen that historically in North America, obviously, South America, Algeria, you know, and the conflict that arises and the damage that's done when these cultures clash isn't just in that historical moment, isn't just what happens between 1954 and 1962 in Algeria and in the decades after, but still today, and will still be felt for a long time, because there's, you know, when you get wounded, you know, or if your body gets wounded, it has to heal itself. There's a lot of stuff that happens, and then eventually the wound closes. And when a wound closes, it takes time before you can be open to making compromises and getting along with something different than yourself, a foreign body, you know. And I think we see that in the Middle East and other places in the world. It's going to take time, you know. That much damage happens for trust, for people to be able to do what happens in this movie, which is to find middle ground and to reach out and shake hands. It takes a long time, you know. I think now, when you see polarized societies, situations, culturally or politically, spiritually, people are afraid to even interact at all on any level with someone from the opposite side because they're seen as being cowards or sellouts or traitors. And it's not just on a moral level that you can be condemned, you can also be killed for doing this. There's a very real physical risk in some cases for betraying your society. So, but eventually people have to find a way to get along or they're both going to die. You know?
Radha Kateb told us that the director gave you space and room to develop this interaction. And I told him that I really liked the part in which their relationship like really becomes sort of a tender relationship between, you would say, like a broader relationship in a certain way. They're sharing some intimate, I don't know, like feelings and thoughts. So.
Yeah, I mean, it takes time. What I like about the story is that it takes time for them to evolve, you know. But they do open up and make a connection that's real and believable. I think a lot of movies these days, you know, or moviegoers have become accustomed to seeing movies that things have to happen really quickly. A lot has to happen. It has to be extremely dramatic and in your face. But that doesn't allow for much subtle character development, you know. I mean, movies where it's one fight after another and one dramatic conflict after another doesn't allow much time for exploration or for the audience to get to know the people really, you know. After those movies that can be very exciting, you then say, well, what was that person really like? And say, well, I don't know, I mean, he wore, had a red coat on, but other than that, I don't know, he yelled a lot, you know what I mean? You don't really get to know them as people. And then this is I like this kind of story because you do get to know them and you're surprised by their evolution, you know.
How did you prepare for the role? Did you know the book of Albert Camus?
One of the most helpful things about preparing this role was reading, which I had not read, Camus' diaries and his correspondence with other writers, you know, in particular René Char. You know, there was some interesting correspondence with him about art and life and just mundane things like, I'll meet you tomorrow for dinner, and then, you know, just the date and what else was happening in France at that time and in Algeria. And sometimes they would talk about the situation in Algeria. It was interesting. In these letters, that was helpful.
How did those letters inspire your acting?
It just gave me a historical context for the story on a more personal level, just of everyday life, you know. And also because I think that in this particular case, it's a kind of autobiographical character or storyline, you know. I think that this teacher that I play is what Camus would have been if he had not become a well-known writer and moved to France. You know, I think he would have, you know, his most important male figure in his life growing up was a school teacher in grade school in Algiers who encouraged him to go to high school and to become interested in literature and philosophy and history and these things. And he had a very strong influence on him. But without this guy, I don't think he would have become a writer. In fact, when he won the Nobel Prize, he named this person, this school teacher, and thanked him, said, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here, you know. So I think on some level, anything about Camus and where he liked to go. When I went to Algeria before the movie, I went to places that he talked about in his books and in his diaries that were special for him, you know, those neighborhoods in Algiers or places along the coast that he liked to go to. I went to those places just to look at it.
It's almost like you played Camus in the film.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's what I was thinking when I was doing it. And his point of view, his not wanting to be tied down to one side or another. And I'm sorry if on some level it, the end result is that I make friends of enemies or enemies of friends, but that's not the intention. The intention is just to be honest from moment to moment. So when he's confronted by fellow Algerians of European descent, well, how can you take their side and speak their language? I'm like, well, we're all Algerians. What are we talking about? You know what I mean? That's his point of view, and that's would have been Camus.
Have you ever considered directing your own things?
Yeah, I've thought about it. But I mean, I know it takes time and a lot of energy and luck and money. Mostly time and energy focused in a really positive way. So if I do it, I want to make sure I do it correctly. When I see someone like David Olhoffen doing it or David Cronenberg, people who really take their time and do it well, that's the way to do it if you're going to do it.
What does it mean for your career to be in Lord of the Rings? Did he open windows for so that you could have more possibilities and to engage a little project, an indie project?
It gave me more, you know, on a business level, it made it possible for producers to say, okay, you can be in this movie, or this movie can get made if I'm in it, you know, whether it be A La Triste at the budget they wanted to make it at, or History of Violence, for example. But then you have to, you know, if luck comes your way, then you have to use it. So then if I get a role like History of Violence and you try to do a good job, and then it maybe brings you other opportunities. But certainly I will always be grateful to Peter Jackson, because without him casting me in that role, I wouldn't be here today. One thing wouldn't have led to another. I wouldn't have got any of those opportunities I got right afterwards. So I'm still reaping the benefits in a very real sense of that piece of good luck, you know, of being cast in that movie by Peter Jackson.
Thank you. Viggo Mortensen will be here with us on Frappy Radio. And this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 71st Venice International Film Festival for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.